friendship with Ron Cole. He's the director of Help Ministries, and I'm involved with, and I'm on the executive board, which doesn't mean a great deal. They ask me about some things once in a while, but I'm pleased to have a part in it. Brother Ron, would you come, please? You come, please.
Church, for just your warm welcome, for taking such good care of these men, the folks from Bethel. Thank you so much for being here tonight, and it's good to see churches working together. Amen. And what a blessing. And these men, this is always our final stop, last stop before they go home, and you treat them well, you take care of them, and sometimes you probably feed them a little bit more than you should, truth be told, but that's a blessing. At the beginning of the conference, we have to warn the guys, don't eat everything you see. Switch my mic on now? Okay. We don't want anybody to hear.
Ron, we don't have a delay now.
There's no 7-second delay. Y'all's in trouble is all I can say. This will be the last time I get to preach here. But what a blessing. Thank you for taking such wonderful care of them. I'm going to ask, because we may have some folks here tonight that haven't seen all the group. Here's what I'm going to ask all the guys to come up. Just say your name and your country. And then, Brother Ryan, you remain behind, and you'll be sharing your testimony. So very quickly, guys, would you come up here, just introduce yourself, name and country, and just so everyone will know who it is that's here. Unfortunately, we can't work all these guys in tonight, but they have shared their testimonies, all but one. So go ahead and start us off, Akumu.
Hi, everyone. I am Pastor Mukumu Deborma from India.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Samuel Kabiru from Kenya.
No.
Pastor Kephas Rodo from Kenya.
Amen.
Noel Batayo from Northern Philippines.
Amen. And then Brother Ryan is actually going to be introducing himself and his country, and then tell us about what God's done in your life and your ministry and your work in the Philippines. Good to have you with us, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ron.
Good evening, church. Amen. Amen. Last night, quickly, someone already asked me, what is your greatest need right now? And I'm tempted to say, weight loss. But he was talking about the ministry. I'll be quick, because I've already said my testimony to Bethel and Northview. We have a unique ministry in Life Spring Bible Baptist Church, San Pedro, Laguna. It is a Saturday Good News class. We live near a creek where informal settlers live, right beside the creek, shanties, families living there. And we have four professional teachers in our church, and they got burdened. We got burdened. So we gathered those kids, 4 years old to teenagers to 15 years old. We gather them every Saturday. We teach them about the Bible. We teach them about Jesus Christ. But after that, we teach them academic subjects, reading, writing. You ask why? Because in the Philippines, public schools, they house 60 to 70 students. It's not conducive for learning. So we want to give them to end the chain of poverty of spirit, of course, but of course the poverty of the family. And most of the time they go out of school. So what we do is we teach them, we feed them. As they go home during lunch, they're already full, but we also supply them school supplies. Plus, I'm teaching in the Bible College where I graduated. After I graduated 2002, 2006, I started teaching Baptist history and church history for 20 years now, still doing that. In fact, last Monday was our graduation. Six graduated from Bachelor of Theology, four graduated from Graduate of Theology, 3-year course. One will go to Thailand, one will go to Taiwan, and the rest will be assistant pastors and will plant church in the Philippines. We treat the Bible school as mission, as missionaries. All the churches talking about helping each other, churches helping each other. We're independent, but we can be interdependent. So we give offering to our Bible school, though that Bible school is housed in my sending church. The supply, the food, the gas money of teachers, voluntary teachers, they're all active pastors. And they're we're running for 26 years now. And last, Philippines is the gateway to the world. Right now, I have a classmate who's in Peru and ministering there. And on May 31, our church will host a missionary from Ivory Coast. I just talked to him last night, Anselme Kakule. So my point is, we're here to partner with you, but also in our churches, we are channels of blessing also to missionaries. Last but not the least, in our church, a family already gave 80 square meters of land, but it's not enough. So we decided to sell it and purchase our own lot, Lord willing. Because I've told you last Sunday, our church, our house church, we rented $150 a month. It's only as big as your stage. That's our church here. But we are 50 in our church, and somebody asked, how can you fit 50 there? And I answered, we're Filipinos. Our average height is 5'2". We can fit there. We can fit there. We can fit here. We're not Americans. So those are our needs. And thank you. It's been a blessing. What a way to end our missions conference here in Northview Baptist Church. So many things to say, but we have to budget the time. Pastor Ron will preach. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Well, what a blessing. And I've had the opportunity to travel to the Philippines a few times, and I'm always amazed at their ability to work together, their vision to reach beyond even their country. You know, at first the church planting was in the Philippines, but then Asia, they began to look at Asia, and now they're not just looking at Asia now, they're looking at the whole world, and sending missionaries to the Middle East, missionaries to Africa, missionaries to South America, Central America, and so thank God that there's this heart to do missions. And so church, please pray for these men. All of these men are in difficult situations. All these countries, none of them, while some might be a little bit better off than others as far as the prosperity aspect of it, nowhere even comes close to the blessings that we enjoy here in America. Okay? And so God's, He's going to expect us to do something. And Northview Baptist Church, you've been doing it. You've been doing it. I want to encourage you just to keep doing it. Keep doing what you've been doing. Keep giving to missions. I'm not going to preach on faith promise, but I just want to say just a couple things about it. I want to encourage you to give systematically to missions on a consistent basis, either weekly or monthly. And by filling out that card, you don't put your name on it, but what it does, it just kind of, it solidifies that purpose that you put in your heart. It just solidifies that. It also lets the church know what the mind is of the body of Christ so they can make an informed decision as to whether or not they can take on new missionaries for the upcoming mission year. So it's a way to do decently and in order missions for this upcoming year. And so you might think, well, what's the point of doing that? Well, that's the point of it. And then it's really good. I always enjoy, my wife and I fill the card out. We started back in 1994. I got saved in 1994. I got called to preach in 1994. I started giving to missions in 1994. I started tithing in 1994. And now for over 30 years, consistently, we've been able to give to missions on a consistent basis. And God's blessed us. But more importantly than God blessing us, people's lives have been changed and people have been saved and missionaries have been sent that we had a part in. We had a hand in that. And so we thank God for that. Well, look with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. I know our time's getting away from us a little bit tonight. I got good news. I've got about 2-hour message, and that's a joke right there. That's a terrible joke right there. They're like, oh my. You should have seen the looks on your faces. If you're able, would you stand with me as we look to the Word of God, Acts chapter number 17? If you can't, keep your seat. The Lord would understand that for sure, but if you could. Acts chapter number 17. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, which dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.'" Now let's look down at verse number 32. Paul's preaching a message here. He's going to ultimately make his way to the resurrection. And when he gets to the resurrection, we see in verse 32, and the Bible says, they're listening now, they're listening. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysus and a woman named Damaris and others with them." Father, thank you for your word. We pray your blessings upon the reading of it. We pray your blessings upon the preaching of it. We pray the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to illumine our hearts tonight. What a blessing it is to be here. Now, Father, I need your help. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak and you would minister this evening. It's been a blessing to be here. We're so thankful and privileged to be a part of this conference at the Northview Baptist Church. And Father, I pray your blessings upon every home that's represented here tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. Paul is going to be in Athens. Now, we don't preach a lot about Athens. We don't read a lot about Athens, truth be told, because there's not a lot happened in Athens. There's no letters written back to them that we know of. And in fact, as far as we know, this was the one and only time that Paul was there. If he was there, I'm not aware that Scripture bears it out in any other place. Perhaps he was. It's interesting, though, the response that he gets there. Isn't it amazing that we preach the gospel message, the same message with the same power, from the same book, from the same preacher, but with different responses? Look with me in the early verses of chapter 17. Paul is in Thessalonica. If you were to begin reading in verse 1, I'm not going to. I'm just skimming now from verse 1. He's in Thessalonica. And as his manner was in verse 2, he's there 3 Sabbath days. He reasons with them out of the Scripture. He's opening and alleging verse 3 that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And look at the response here in Thessalonica. And the Word of God says this, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So we see great results here in Thessalonica. Some of them believed. That's the first thing we hear. And then a great multitude of women, or of the chief women, not a few, and devout Greeks, a great multitude. Now, I have no idea how many people that is, but I'm just going to say it's probably a great multitude of people. So, that's what happens in Thessalonica. Then he travels to Berea. We see in verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who continuing thither went into the synagogue. Now look at this. These were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And consequently, we see the word therefore in verse number 12. What does it say, church? Many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were of Greeks, and of men, not a few. So you see the difference. So in Thessalonica, there was a great multitude. But seemingly, as I read the scripture, because of something that happened in Berea, in that they heard the preaching, they searched the scriptures, that the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, settled into people's hearts, and a great multitude, even more so than in Thessalonica, followed Christ in Berea. Same messenger, same message. But we come to Athens. We come to Athens. And Athens is in a period of decline at this time. It was once a chief center of culture and education, and it still is. But the glory of its politics and its commerce are beginning to fade. It still had the famous universities and beautiful buildings. And when you think of Greece, you think of Socrates and Aristotle and the deep thinkers of the day. You think of the philosophers, if you will. There was a newspaper columnist. He defined philosophy as this: unintelligible answers to insoluble problems. You know, we've got a lot of people today that are speaking philosophy. Amen. You turn on the news, you listen to a podcast, you listen to the radio, and they're just talking about talk. They're just talking to be talking. It makes no sense whatsoever. But people want to hear it, and they're drawn to it. I've had a few people say, hey, I want you to listen to this podcast. I want you to listen to this guy. And I'll listen to that podcast or that guy. I'm thinking to myself, why would you listen to this? But people are, and they do. There's two groups of people here, the Epicureans, the Stoics, and Paul, he travels around. It was said one of the secular writers of the day visited Athens, and this is what he said. He said, in Athens, it was easier to find a god than it was to find a man. They had thousands and thousands of graven images, carved images, gods, and as a result, the gospel had a hard time penetrating. The gospel's powerful, but man can really hold the truth of God in unrighteousness with his wicked choices and living. And so these men, as you pray for them, you must consider this. Some of them are in very difficult places to minister. All of them are in very difficult places to minister. Some fields are harder than others. Some ground is more fertile. The Lord spoke of this with the parable of the sower. So this is nothing new for us, but this is practical. This is how this fleshes out in real life. We read that parable like, wow, that's a cool parable. But this, here it is in real life. Here's the parable playing out in the book of Acts. And it's still playing out today. People have a hard time. Now, philosophers, a deep thinker, really, if we could bring some deep thinkers in here, and we might have some, okay? I'm sure that we do. You're not looking at one, I'll tell you that. But I'm sure that there's one here somewhere. But a deep thinker, they really have three big questions on their mind. Question number one, where did we come from? Question number two, why are we here? And question number three, where are we going? Now, everybody has those questions on their heart and minds. I say everybody. Anybody that really thinks about life, thinks about the future, thinks about the importance of things, there are some that just, man, they don't think about anything but having a good time. We understand that. But the day will come, even for those, when they will have the thought, where do we come from? What are we doing here? And what happens next? Now, science tries to answer the first question, but it fails miserably. Philosophy tries to answer the second question, but it fails miserably. But I've got wonderful news for you. What science can't do and what philosophy can't do, Christianity, Christ can do. Because it will tell you where you came from. It will tell you why you're here. And it will tell you what happens next when it's all said and done. And the main answers that people are searching for, you can find all of those answers in the person of Jesus Christ and in the message of the gospel. And so Paul, if you read the text, he really was just waiting on his friends. But he sees the city given to idolatry, and so he begins to take this opportunity to preach. He walks down amongst all the gods and all the carvings and all the idols, and they actually had an engraved plaque, if you will, and a tomb. And this is what it said: to the unknown God. Paul said, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. He said, when I passed by, I saw you had a tomb to the unknown God. It's him that I want to tell you about. I want to preach to you and let you know about the unknown God. I'm here to tell you, while the cities around the world may not have this tomb, they still have the unknown God that they are not aware of. They have their religion. They have what they believe. They have what they've been taught. And in India, you know what they're going to say with Christianity? This is what they're going to say. Oh, that's the white man's religion. That's what they're going to say. They'll say it in other places too. That's the white. No. We're going to see in this text, this is not the white man's religion. This is every man's religion. This is for every person that's ever been born on planet Earth. Not just for white people. But that's what the devil uses. And we're going to see in this text that that will be refuted as well. And we don't have time to really develop it. But is y'all's clocks, is there 60 minutes in the hour down here? What county is this? Cumberland County? Is there 60 minutes in the hour in Cumberland County? We better get after it then. Paul's going to preach. He's going to preach the message. He begins to, verse 24, he said this. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So when Paul gets a chance to preach, number one, this is what he's going to say. God is the maker of all things. He's going to refute what science says. He's going to refute what people try to claim. He's going to right at the beginning, you think creation is important? It's very important. Why do you suppose the devil tries to attack it so much? Because it's very important. It's foundational to believe that God created us. So God, number one, is the maker of all things. He made the world and everything therein. So not only did he make the stuff, but he made the people. So he's the maker of all things. Not only is he the maker of all things, he's the giver of all things. The Bible says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Look at this. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So in his message, God made everything and God has given us everything. He gives us life and breath and all things. It would say later in this text, look with me in verse number 28. It says this, for in him we live and move and have our being. Wow. Do you understand what that's saying, church? In Christ we live and move and have our being. That means if you don't have Christ, you don't really live and move and have your being. You merely exist on planet Earth, but you ain't living. You ain't living because Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. People that never know Christ, they never truly live. They never truly move. They never truly enjoy the existence that God intended for them. Because they don't have the person that brings them to life. They showed up dead. They will leave dead unless someone mortifies or quickens their dead bodies. And Jesus is the one that did that.
Amen.
He's the giver of all things. People that never hear the gospel
or people that do hear the gospel and never get saved and chase these idols their whole life. I mean, how could you do it without Christ? It's, I think, and you, maybe y'all are going to say, well, he's a carnal, bald-headed preacher. It's hard, in my opinion. Life's still hard. It's tough. But it's manageable, and it's good, and it's joyful, and it's wonderful because of Christ. But there are still some tough things to deal with. If you didn't have Christ, how would you handle it? And the world without Christ is just going to merely exist. They're going to have all the problems, more so probably than many of us are faced with. They're going to have a tough life. They may have some moments of goodness, but it's going to trend downward when it begins to go. And then they're going to get to the end of life and not know the answer to life's most important question. And it behooves us to get the gospel to every creature. He's the maker of all things. He's the giver of all things. The Bible says in verse 26, "And He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth."
Amen.
You know, the Greeks thought they were better than everybody else. The Jews thought they were better than everybody else. Americans, let's not fall into that trap and think that we're better than everybody else. We're not. All of us trace our ancestry back to the same person. It doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter what we talk like, where we come from, what our history is, who our family is. It doesn't matter any of those things. We all go back to the same place. And you know what the world wants to do is drive us and divide us. But what the world's trying to do, boy, the Bible is the answer. Christianity, Christ, brings together.
Amen.
And God loves the people in Africa just as much as He loves the people here. And He wants to save them just as much as He wants to save the people here. And He wants to save the people here just as much as He wants to save the people there. He's the originator of all people. He's the ruler of the nations. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. I mean, make no mistake about it. There is a supreme ruler that sits on the throne, and nothing happens that He does not allow to happen.
Amen.
He is still sovereign. We might look at it and think, man, I don't know, but He still maintains His sovereignty. And if He wants to check something, He'll check it. If He wants to stop something, He'll stop it. And if He wants to raise somebody up, He'll raise them up. And if He wants to pull them down, He'll pull them down. He's the ruler of the nations. It's not the power of man, but the government of God that determines the rise and fall of nations. God has made us in His image. It is foolish then. It's what Paul is preaching to these people. It is foolish then, if God's made you in His image, to make gods after your own image. Greek religion was nothing but the manufacture and worship of gods who were patterned after men and who acted like men. But thank God, we don't worship someone who's patterned after a man and acts like a man, although he became man. But we worship someone who's way better than man, who sits above man, who is all-powerful, all-supreme, all-knowing, and all the attributes that we could heap upon Him that He so rightfully deserves.
Amen.
He's the ruler of the nations. But He's the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Verse 29 says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." Verse 30, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. God was patient with man's sin and ignorance, but it didn't mean that man was not guilty. It didn't mean that God was going to overlook it. He was merely giving man a space to repent, to get right, and he's still giving man that space to repent and get right. Why is he doing that? Because he wants man to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants man to be saved. But with that message, it seems that they were doing fine until they heard of the resurrection. And when they heard of the resurrection, that was really contrary to anything they had ever really thought about. It so blew their minds. When they heard of the resurrection, some mocked. At this point, people began to stir up. And it began to cause problems. Like, now you could start. It's 8 o'clock. I know it's time to quit. I'm shutting it down. Believe you me. Somebody could say, man, it's, you know, you do one of those deals. And then stand up. I'll do one of those. That's what happened here. Some mocked. They began to mock. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Some said, man, you got some interesting points there, Mr. Paul. But I tell you what, I'm going to have to hear it again. I'm going to have to hear some more. I'm going to have to think on it. And when we talk to people and give them the gospel message, some people say, man, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of.
Right.
Some say, you know what? Man, that's interesting. That's interesting. You know, I've never heard that before. But I'm going to have to think. I'm going to have to think about it a little bit. But, howbeit.
Amen.
Certain men clave unto him. Brother Makumu here. You were the first person in your area to get saved, weren't you? First person in his family to get saved. Now, a lot of people heard the message in his area. A lot of people heard the message, but guess what? Only one guy at the beginning received the message. Some said, oh, that's white man's religion. Some said, no, we've got our Hindu religion. Some probably mocked and made fun of it. Some said, it sounds pretty good, but we can't. If we make this decision, our families are going to reject us. Our society is going to reject us, and so we can't make that decision. But just one person clave unto it. Now listen now. God loves the one. If he were the only convert in his area, it had been worth it, the person that went there and spread the gospel. But guess what? He's not the only person. He started talking to his family and chipping away at his family. And then his family got saved. And his dad, who left for a while and came back after a month, then he got saved. And then when people in his family began to get saved, you know what happened? All the Hindus in the area like, we can't have this. And they came and they burnt the worship place and kicked him out of the area. That's his testimony. He's right here with us tonight. And so for 5 years, he had to go live in another area. And he lived there for 5 years, but guess what? He had this burden in his heart to go back to that place. And 5 years later, he showed up. And the very people that were against him are now for him. They got saved. And God is doing a work in this area. Now listen, the gospel, it's not going to be some easy thing where we go. You go on Saturday morning. Oh man, thank God. I've been waiting for Northview Baptist Church to show up. I want to get saved. Can I get baptized tomorrow? Just before we pray, I want to know if I get baptized tomorrow.
It's like that.
Is that the way it is?
Oh, every day.
That ain't the way it is it? But it could be Saturday.
Amen.
That you're going to meet this guy.
Yeah.
And all those people that said no, they said no, there's going to be this one cat or lady, and they're going to say, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. They're going to come here on Sunday morning, and it's going to stick. And you're going to say, man, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. Now, Church, maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Maybe you've mocked it. Maybe you said, you know what, I want to hear more. I'm not ready to make a decision. But then maybe with regard to missions, I'm sure nobody's mocked it and thought, boy, that's a crazy thing. I know that because you wouldn't be here tonight if you thought that.
Amen.
But maybe you're just not sure about consistently giving on a weekly or a monthly basis. You want to hear a little bit more about it. I appreciate that, and I respect that. I want to encourage you, just try it out. Try it out. Missions is the, as we've heard it, it's almost cliche. It's the heartbeat of God. It's what He wants us to be engaged in. And when we do it, we are fulfilling His plan. And we are getting a message to a world that desperately needs it. And that message does something that no other message can do.
Amen.
It's the gospel. We need to share it. So let's share it. Amen. Let's get it to all the world. Let's let the people hear it. Let them decide for themselves if they want to mock it, if they want to think about it a little bit longer, or if they want to just stick right with it. Will you stand with me, Heavenly Father? We thank You for Your word.
Amen.
And as the pastor comes, Father, I pray that Your blessing once again upon the reading, preaching of Your word. May the Spirit of God do a work in our hearts, and we'll be quick to praise You and thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your marvelous plan of salvation. Thank You for the just privilege to be here tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come, please. Go away, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. In just a moment, our pianist will begin to play. If you're here tonight and you're not certain about eternity, I was raised in a Protestant home. I called myself a Christian. Thought I was a Christian. Christian religion. I went to a revival on a Wednesday night, and I heard the gospel preached. I said, surely I'm okay, but I wasn't okay. And I came to that, and simple childlike faith, just believed on my Savior and trusted Him, changed my life. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're somewhat like that. Won't you let me or someone here tonight help you? I can't force you to make a genuine decision. No one can, and no one can make a decision for you. But you need to know the truth. And if you're uncertain about the clarity of the gospel, you need to know that so you can act upon it for yourself. You're here tonight and you say, that's my testimony. I've got a testimony of conversion. There was a time I heard, I believed, and I called. Well, you're not in heaven yet. So you're here for a purpose. And we're ambassadors for Christ. So let's examine ourselves. Let's commit ourselves to doing His will. Whatever the Lord would ask of you tonight, would you obey Him? Whatever your need is tonight, would you approach Him in prayer? If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available. Our Father in heaven, we surely are grateful for this conference and grateful for each evening, grateful for each day, and grateful for this evening. I ask You now to bless this time of invitation. Let us not boast about our conference. Enjoy our conference and remain the same. Please bless this time of invitation. We ask in our Savior's name. As our pianist plays softly, hymn of invitation, friends, let's examine ourselves and let's just simply obey God.